Welcome to Catholic Sports View, a look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here's your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome one and all to Catholic Sports View. We're sure glad you joined us. We are brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Orange. And lots to talk about, as there seems to be every week here on Catholic Sports View, where we talk about the Trinity League. And boy, there's a lot going on. Later on, we're going to talk to Coach Kirk Orahood. He's the head tennis coach at JCR Catholic. And we talk about his team that's just having a great season. And we're going to talk to Coach. And he's always an interesting interview. He has a lot to say and a lot to share with us. And he has coached some great tennis players over the years, and he's got some great ones right now as well. So we'll talk about all that with Coach in just a couple of moments. But we're going to start things off by taking care of some news and notes coming out of the Trinity League. We'll get to some playoff pairings in just a minute, but I want to talk about the Boris Baseball Classic. We just covered it last week here on Catholic Sports View. We were out at Modern Day High School. The Monarchs had a great run there and actually went on to win, as you heard, the southern portion of the Boris Classic. Granite Hills won the northern portion. That means the two teams got together. They played at Santa Clara University. And guess what? The Trinity League comes out the champion again. Modern Day, congratulations to the Monarchs. They win the 2024 Boris High School Classic with a 7-3 win over Granite Bay. Brady Connors, the Old Dominion commit, senior shortstop, had a double, a couple of singles, a couple of RBIs. Johnny Elliott with the two-run double. And Ryan Iveson pitched four scoreless innings of relief. Boy, it was really all about the bullpen because the extra inning games they got played throughout that tournament. Don't forget, Modern Day defeated the number one team in the nation, Corona High School, to win the southern portion. And they go on and they win the entire thing. What a great run by Modern Day. We'll see if they can now turn that into the rest of Trinity League play, get into the CF Southern Section playoffs, and maybe make a run there. What a great part of the season for the Monarchs. No matter how things turn out this year, they can always hang their hat on this championship. All right, we've got some playoff stuff to talk about. Boys volleyball, the pairings have been released in Division One. Of course, Modern Day, no surprise there. They will be in pool play. Of course, Division One is pool play, so Modern Day is there, along with Newport Harbor, Huntington Beach, Loyola, MiraCosta, Corona Del Mar, Tesoro, and Edison. Pool play begins on the 24th, and a championship will be crowned not till May 11th. So it's going to take a little while to get there, but we'll get to Cerritos College on May 11th, and we will have a Division I champion there. So good luck to the Monarchs in Division I. Division II is where the rest of the Trinity League teams reside. Orange Lutheran gets in. They get Beckman in a tough first-round matchup. Servite gets Los Alamitos in round one. That's another great matchup there as well. And Santa Margarita will be at home to take on Royal High School. So there's the other three teams, all in Division II. Again, May 11th will be the finals at Cerritos College. And a real good chance here, three teams in Division II to get a champion out of there for the Trinity League. So that should be a lot of fun to follow that one as well. And over in the beach volleyball brackets, girls beach volleyball, which is a sport in the spring season, still relatively new, but lots of schools on board with girls beach volleyball. And we've already got teams into the second round of this one, including Santa Margarita, who is taking on Edison in the first round. Santa Margarita with a 5-0 win over San Clemente in the opener. Modern Day and Los Alamitos in round two. Modern Day took out Dos Pueblos 4-1 in the opening round. And Jay Serra, who got the bye as one of the top seeds in the tournament, no problem with Santa Barbara. So Jay Serra has already made it to the quarterfinals. And so good chance there for Jay Serra to go all the way through. And as I mentioned, Modern Day and Santa Margarita still very much alive in the girls beach volleyball brackets. And we'll keep you updated on that one as well. And when it comes to the rest of the playoff brackets, they will all be released this coming weekend. That includes softball on April 27th, boys lacrosse on April 27th, girls lacrosse also on the 27th, baseball, we'll find out what the brackets look like on April 29th, and boys tennis as well will also be released on April 29th. So the postseason is here for the spring sports. already begun and going to begin in these other sports as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see which teams get in. And boy, especially those baseball brackets, always a lot of fun to see who gets in and how it shapes up. And it's a tough road, as we know, to get to the championship game. Again, more updates as they happen. And next week, we'll have all those playoff pairings for you in the other sports as they are released. All right, that gets us to our interview for this week. Kirk Orahood, a longtime coach, and his brother is also a tennis coach with him at J. Sarah Catholic. But Kirk Orahood, he's coached some great tennis players over the years. He's got some great ones again this year as this team continues to impress people and play great tennis, a great winning streak throughout this season. And it's been quite a year for the tennis program at J. Sarah Catholic as they continue on with what J. Sarah, the entire athletic department, is doing over there down in San Juan Capistrano. So we got a chance to talk with Coach, and I always enjoy the conversation. Here it is on my talk earlier with Kirk Orahood. All right, we say hi to the tennis coach, the boys' tennis coach, also the girls' tennis coach at J. Sarah Catholic. But, of course, this time of the season in spring, we're talking about boys' tennis. Coach, good to talk with you again. And boy, what a season it continues to be for you and your boys there, J. Sarah.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect. I knew we had a good guy coming in, a freshman that's probably the best guy at this age that's ever played here. Subsequently, I've seen a match on our courts, which is the best singles match I've seen at this school in 15 years, counting finals and everything, and wow. including Alex Mickelson, who played against us, who is, I think, top 75 in the world. Actually, he was here playing just a handful of years ago.
It's funny because there are a few sports where a freshman can come in and immediately be just a top-notch player, if not the best player in the program. But tennis certainly is one of those sports. Is it because kids start so young when they're playing tennis?
Yeah, he's great for his age group, this particular student-athlete. They have the kids start younger, and then if you're in an environment where you have country clubs around or top tennis clubs around with academies and stuff, those kids come to you pretty well. Lots of times the really, really good ones remain homeschooled, though.
Yeah, right, because we see that in golf as well. I mean, I think tennis and golf kind of run in that same thing where we see some kids homeschooled, and the concentration really is on the sport. You really need to dedicate that time to the sport if you're going to be the kind of athlete that wants to compete at that level, right?
Correct, and that's the general thinking with the parents and the powers to be. I'm not so sure that because I've done otherwise. I've taken two kids to Wimbledon that I coached, and neither one of them were homeschooled. Both, and actually one of them not only played for a school, he was at practice almost every day.
Does that just go to show that there's not just one road that can lead to, and really it's a matter of having the talent, right?
Correct. That's exactly true. I mean, there's people that saying that can't be done anymore. Kids got to go to academies and do all this kind of stuff and leave, don't go to school. And that's probably true for the majority of people, but I think it still can be done.
Do we still find a lot of young kids interested in tennis and getting into it at that young age?
Yeah, I don't think it's dropping off. And we don't have 4 and 5, 6 year old kids playing pickleball yet. Hopefully they won't. But I don't think tennis is dropping off. Actually, I think when COVID, I don't know the exact numbers, Bob, but I'm pretty sure that it was accelerated during COVID and after COVID.
Is there a specific athlete that's kind of drawn to tennis? Obviously, it's there's the doubles game, but really it's a one-on-one sport, and it's not only the physicality, but the mental side of it is so much in tennis.
The mental is a big key, and unfortunately, most kids don't pick that up till later. They're really battling against themselves. You're really playing against yourself and the mental part of yourself. You can coach them stuff, get them a sports psychologist or someone to work with them. I mean, stuff that I could get across to them, but when they're little, the mental stuff doesn't come into effect. It's just flat out being a good athlete. And the bottom line is, moving your feet. It's a game of footwork. I can sit there and go watch kids play other sports and watch a soccer player and stuff and go, that kid's going to be a good tennis player. And if you don't move your feet, you're not going to do very well at tennis.
you know, when it comes to being a high school coach, are you doing a lot of fine tuning, or are you still able to coach and you get kids in that really, you know, need those basics and really, you know, need that day in, day out coaching?
No, we spend most of our time with kids that are, first of all, we coach here as a sport for a lifetime. We run a no cut program. We had just under 80 girls in our program and 45 boys this year. So we're working with people that are some newbies, but other people that definitely need help. My top few people tend to take care of themselves. They have coaches. The young man I'm talking about, particularly Riley Anson, sponsored by the USTA. So he goes up to the training center in Carson and also goes occasionally to the training center in Orlando. So what I do with those guys is I talk to them. If I see something that I kind of would like to tweak or talk to them a lot, I go, let's talk about it. You talk to your coach. I'll tell you how I feel about it. And that's it. If you guys decide that's what you want to do, that doesn't happen very often, but mostly my big thing with the top players is shot recognition and shot selection, but it's not really tweaking their strokes.
Sometimes kids that are at that level, not necessarily won't play high school sports, right? They're already so ingrained in sport and they know their trajectory or where they hope to go. Sometimes high school doesn't factor in. So is it nice to see a kid who really wants to compete for their high school?
Well, yeah, no. And the calls that I'm getting now are from kids. Some of them won't jump off the diving board. They're kids that have been homeschooled the whole time. Mm-hmm. But the call that I get now is I want my kid to have a high school experience. I want my kid to be socially, not be socially inept. And that's kind of the knock on a lot of homeschoolers. I know some of the homeschool parents and teachers are going to say otherwise, but because they do get out in public and do stuff in groups of people, I know that. But basically, they just want to have a high school experience. And so they come in. They can come in, I think, as a freshman and sophomore. I don't know if Riley's going to stay here as junior and senior year, but I'm pretty sure he's going to play next year. And then we'll see how serious he gets. It's very difficult. I mean, you do this. You work with coaches, and you've seen all the charts with the percentages of who makes it to from high school to D1, and then who makes it from D1 to the collegiate level is very, very thin.
Yeah, so, it's razor thin who eventually gets to that top level. It really starts to thin out the higher and higher you go. But what I love, and you mentioned it before, it's a no-cut program. And so you have kids of all ranges, all talent levels. Some kids who just want to come enjoy playing tennis, right? I mean, and I think that's got to be fun as well, just to see the joy of a kid who wants to just come out. They're never going to be maybe even a collegiate tennis player, much less a professional tennis player, but they want to have just fun playing tennis in high school.
That's our big hoot. I mean, I've coached. I didn't think I was ever going to be a high school coach. I mean, being the tennis pro at a country club for 16 years, 17 years at the same spot. But taking in this credit goes to my twin brother, Keith. He runs the lower level. First of all, I coach all three levels, so I don't just coach the varsity. So I see the frost off, but especially the girls, having a girl that's never touched a racket. Mm-hmm. We have 2.5 weeks of practice and seeing them compete and actually keep score and playing someone 3 weeks after they've touched a racket is that's the most satisfying thing for me right now. And Keith. So.
Right. Because you've coached kids who played at that highest level, right? You've seen the best of the best. And so that's got to be fun for you to see a kid who just sees the joy in playing the game. And you're right. It's a game for life, right?
Correct. I got to a certain point where we were trying to get scholarships, and sometimes I'd go by a park and I'd see people just having fun and dinking the ball over, and I'd see them laughing and having fun. And I go, wow, I wish tennis was like that for me still, because I lost that there for a little bit. And trying to get the scholarships, there's a lot of pressure.
Sure. It's got to be fun coaching the girls and the boys, right? Let me ask you that question first. How different is it coaching girls tennis players versus boys tennis players?
Well, it's way different. And I had my daughter graduated. She got a scholarship at a D1 school, Southeast Missouri. Mm-hmm. And she grew up mostly in Colorado. She wasn't that good of a tennis player. But when she graduated from college, she came and coached with us for 3 years. And I think what drove her out is everyone kept saying, well, what grade are you in? What grade are you in? So I'd have her wear the opposite. Like if the girls are wearing one uniform, I had her wear the opposite colors and stuff. But at first I told her that I had way more drama on my boys team with like 32 guys. And then I'd have like 50 girls at the time. And she goes, that's impossible, Dad. And then when she came out here and coached the girls, then had the boys 2 weeks later, she go, yeah, I see what you're talking about. So it is different. One thing that I will tell you, Bob, that I really liked, I mean, I obviously everyone hated COVID, but we ran they kicked us out of school. And then the next year when we came back, we were kicked out March 13th. And when we came back the next year, CIF pushed everything. I think football had a couple games in the middle, January, whatever. But they pushed the tennis together in the spring. And my kids bought in. We came back. I got construction lights, put them out on the court. We only have 2.5 courts lit. I had seniors driving home and coming back to practice at 7:30 because I had all those kids on 6 courts. And I really like the girls and boys together like they do in Texas.
Right.
They have boys and girls tennises together at the same time. And that was the close-knit where I try to keep our program here as a unit. A lot of the boys and girls are together in 7 period PE, but that was a great year. I really liked it. I enjoyed the camaraderie between the boys and the girls.
Did they push each other? Is that part of it?
Oh,
too?
Yeah. At that time, if my girls team would have played my boys team a couple years before that, my girls team probably would have won. My boys team was good. My COVID team was good. We had the year they kicked us out in March, we had just had our last preseason match. I had a lefty and a righty on each doubles team, which is a big benefit to have a lefty and righty. No one serves in the sun. And, they yanked that one. That would have been a pretty fun season to finish out CIF.
Yeah, right. How much fun is it to be able to coach with your brother and to do this in tandem?
It's fun. I mean, we fight. People laugh at us. Most of the time in my life, he can look at me and say, I told you so, and he's probably right. But we sometimes get in discussions out there. We try to temper them down a little bit. We're both stress A type people and both have our own ideas, but we usually come up with a pretty good solution to everything.
Right. Was tennis always a common thread in your lives?
We switched from baseball. We have another brother that's a year behind us and a sister that's 10 years younger, but we grew up basically as triplets. And our parents switched us from baseball to tennis. So we grew up in Bakersfield. And my mom couldn't take my other brother across town when he started playing baseball. So they go, well, you're quitting baseball, but we're going to give you tennis. And when you're a kid, you're going, no, Keith and I played for 1 year. We were going to continue with our team and can't play, tough beans. And then when you're an adult, you know, you can't do stuff that way. So,
right. Yeah. Obviously, this year's team is this boys team right now is up, I think it's 13. Consecutive
victories? 14. We beat 14, SM again on Thursday. Tight match. I kind of think that in the NFL, I'm a football freak. In football, in the same division, home and away is about a field goal, a 3-point difference, if you people that care about what the score is. In tennis, what I found out, because this is our 16th year here, it's usually one set. So if we beat SM here 10-8, then I pretty much think it's going to be 9-9 up there, and that's what happened the other day. But we won on game count 84-75. So undefeated so far.
Obviously, there's some legacy tennis programs in Southern California that have been good for so long. In Orange County, certainly university has been that program for a long time here. Do you find other schools are starting to kind of catch up with that, and it's becoming a little more parity?
The Irvine schools are pretty strong, and I've raised my kids in Woodbridge. So you got CDM University, but then you have Northwood, Beckman, Woodbridge. And then the one that Keith and I knew was going to happen, and we told everyone a couple years ago, we were the first guys at Edison High School, and they opened the brand new school. But when Portola opened, some school districts do where they do freshman only, then sophomore and freshman. And I think after that, CIF may have told them that, you know, tough luck, you don't have any seniors on your team, but you're going to – you're going to field varsity teams your third year. Well, we were playing Portola when they were sophomores. They had freshmen and sophomore and had tough matches with them. And we just looked at each other and when Portola gets a full fourth year, they're going to be one of the top tennis teams in the county. Oh. And they still are. So they're really good. I think the parity down to people are that are, if you're not used to the Hill, if you don't know what Palos Verdes is, what's what they took years ago? They took Mirales, Palos Verdes, and they closed two. There's three high schools. They closed two of them. So basically, Peninsula is like an all-star team. Mm-hmm. That'd be like taking University, closing Corona Del Mar and Woodbridge, and making one team. We played the girls' Peninsula team a few years back in CIF, and their coach is he's a good guy. They were undefeated for 5 years in a row, the girls' team at Peninsula. So they're always going to be good. That people on the Hill up there in Palos Verdes area, it's going to have good teams too. And then, of course, Harvard, Westlake.
Yeah, in a world where you know private schools seem to dominate in so many sports, it's the public schools that seem to
right.
that seem to do so well. You know, those programs don't seem to be slowing down. And obviously, it's an experience. To come to JCERA is an experience, not only for the religious aspect, certainly the academic aspect is so good at JCERA and athletically. So, are you finding more kids that are interested, wanting to become Lions?
Yes, part of that, I won't talk about the politics of that, about some of the schools we're picking up kids from around us and in the area, but the interest in JCERA has definitely grown. I don't want to say our acceptance rate on this, but that's not my place. You can talk to the admissions department, but it's a little bit tougher to get in here, and people are coming here for all the aspects. I have people that look me in the face and said, if you didn't have Mass once a week, we wouldn't be here. Mm. We want my kid in Mass. We want our kid to have that experience once a week. And they looked me in the face and said, that was the main draw here. So it's all the above, athletics, academics, and spiritual.
Yeah, and having that spiritual aspect to it, being a Catholic school, you're right. That means a lot to some people, and it's a part that people want their kids to experience.
Yeah, of course.
How important is it within the program to have that time, to have that spiritual time, to be able to maybe pray as a team and to have those kind of opportunities?
Well, they, of course, have that over there. I'd say over there, you've been to our school. We have a bridge that goes over from the academic to the athletic side. Right. They get more than just the Mass once a week. I think they get in their theology classes. But as a group, we have team prayers before and after practice. We pray when we get in the van and drive to matches too. So we've been safe. We've never had anything. I've had a couple blowouts, a couple flat tires in some places up by the Orange Crush that were pretty scary. But then with the tire, I picked up a big, huge thing, fell off equipment truck. But we're pretty blessed. And so far, hopefully it'll stay that way.
Well, no flat tires on the court so far as you continue this streak. Yeah, obviously the chance to go to postseason and hopefully get some championships for some kids. That's obviously a goal coming up, I would assume.
Yeah, we try not to look too far ahead. We still have three. We have a makeup with Mater Dei on Friday. Okay. We got Bosco Tuesday, Servite here, and then Mater Dei here Friday, which is a makeup. That'll be a tough match. And then I checked the polls right before you and I came on. They're not out yet.
Right.
We're still right at 10. I don't think anything's changed. I don't expect it to change. If something happens and someone falls down in front of us and we end up in the, what do they call it, the elite or open division?
Open, right.
They'll move eight people up. And so if the dust cleared right now and settled, we'd be the number two seed in Division I, kind of. I mean, that's the way it appears.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been fun to this point, and we look forward to more success. I mean, keep this streak going, Coach. We're rooting for you guys.
Okay, we're trying our best. We're doing our best.
I know.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Coach. We appreciate the time and good luck. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Thanks. That's Kirk Orahood, the head tennis coach at JCERA Catholic. My thanks again to Kirk Orahood. Always fun talking with Coach. Don't forget those boys tennis pairings will be announced on April 29th at 11 a.m., just after the 10 a.m. baseball pairings are announced as well that day. So we'll have lots to talk about next week right here on Catholic Sports View. Lots of Trinity teams getting into the postseason, as always. And it always makes it that much more fun to talk about these things here, as teams in the Trinity are always seem to be going for championships. And if you're a fan of the Trinity, you know that's just the way it is here. We have the best athletes, the best coaches, the best teams anywhere in America. And that's what makes the Trinity League what it is. All right, that wraps things up for this week. Once again, our Twitter handle is at CatholicSV. Give us a follow there, please, if you wouldn't mind, and share our tweets that come out about our shows and our guests. And then, of course, if you want to drop us a line, it's CatholicSportsView@gmail.com. You can send us an email if you have any questions or comments or maybe an idea about somebody we should have on the show. We would appreciate that as well. We are brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Orange, and we thank you for listening to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson. We'll see you next week right here where athletics meets faith.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports View, exploring where athletics meets faith, a production of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange in Southern California. Tell a friend about this podcast and be sure to share on your social media platforms. We'll catch up with you again next week, right here on Catholic Sports View.